Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome back to the only podcast that is made to America, exported overseas, and has no tariffs. Welcome back to the only podcast where we make you feel good not just about yourself on the outside, but we make you feel good from your soul, from the inside, like that chicken soup that your mama used to make, because everybody knows, and you know what, I'm actually going to retract that, and I'm going to say, like the tomato soup that your mama used to make, because mama would make the tomato soup and then we put a grilled cheese beside it and it was an amazing meal. And we are back after Ramadan, so we can start by talking about food and not have to worry about upsetting anyone, because some people are still hungry, but we're not hungry tonight, alhamdulillah. And we are back after our Eid break, alhamdulillah. And ladies and gentlemen, from the far reaches of Florida, the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Happy Eid. Greetings of Eid to all our listeners across the globe. A belated greeting of Eid to everyone. And as Carl so well articulated, we are back after our Eid break. We missed all of you, and we hope you missed us, or at least you remembered us. There is no tariffs here at this time, at this moment, but yes, our goal is to execute efficiently in the time allotted on a weekly basis to try to narrow down to the root causes and problems of our problems happening around the world, and try to bring forth one of two things, either discussion or solution. Today we're going to be looking for both discussion and solution from Carl and I, and also from you all as our listeners, as much as we want to rejoice being back and we want to kind of share with you all amazing experiences of Ramadan and the Eid and having time with friends and families and everything else. I think we have to shelf that topic, hopefully, for the next Eid, because during the course of Ramadan, there was so much happening that we tried to veer clear from the politics and the high, you know, the headlines on news, only because it was a once in a year moment for Muslims around the world to really self-reflect, introspect, rejuvenate their souls, replenish their spiritual energy and emerge. And it needs to happen like a caterpillar goes into a cocoon. It cannot be bothered. There's no in and out. So we try to steer clear from those issues. But unfortunately, there has been a snowball effect. And today we want to cover two main topics. And we are hoping for your participation tonight, because we really want to talk about solutions. Because right now, emotions are raw on both sides of the aisle. We're going to talk about those who are in power and those who are to be served by those in power. And also, there's a lot of sporadic statements and decisions that are being made in articles and tweets. And I think it's imperative that we kind of pull back and understand the complexity of the entire matter, not just a part of it. So Carl, Eid Mubarak to you and your family. And I want to just say thank you and a shout out to all our listeners for their prayers. Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling much better. And as you can see this right here, my whole house is full of these boxes. We are moving, inshallah, to Dallas in the upcoming weeks. We request everyone's prayers, and we'll keep you posted as to why the transition is happening and what good things, inshallah, lie ahead for you all and us all as we continue our journey with Raw Islam. But Carl, two main issues today, Carl. During the end of Ramadan, this news started coming out in different snippets and different sound bites of children being separated from their families at the border. That news continued to amplify itself until we started understanding the enormity and density of this problem. At this current moment, we know that there are multiple thousands of children and families who have been separated because they crossed the border illegally. Now, we're not going to get into a debate tonight about politics, but we're going to understand why this is happening from an intellectual slash religious perspective. And at the same time, everyone knows that today, something big happened in the news. Carl, could you tell us what happened, which is our second topic?
Absolutely. But before I do that, I thought of one more, and I'm going to go ahead and do it since we're here. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Raw Islam podcast, the only podcast that can broadcast from the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia. Okay. Now,
I love that. Kudos, shout out to Red Hen. We love you. And if I come up to Virginia, I'm going to come and eat at your restaurant. I don't care what the color of the paint is outside. I've heard the food is amazing. Actually, Carl and I will come together. But Carl, tell us the somber news that came out today from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, so unfortunately, and much to my personal surprise, the Supreme Court made an official ruling on Trump's Muslim ban today. And it was a 5-4 decision, and they said that his ban is legit and he has the authority. Actually, from what I read, I believe the exact ruling was he has the authority to do this based on other things. It wasn't that it was legit and it wasn't that it was morally correct, because they're the Supreme Court. They're not supposed to be a moral judge. They're supposed to be a legal judge. And so that was what went down. So they came, and I know one of the things I was reading online was they were saying that, unfortunately, when the dissent was handed out, there was no audio being recorded, but the people that were in the room really wished that Sotomayor's speech had been recorded, because they said the passion in her voice could have just brought the walls of Jericho down, as it were.
Well, you know, we're going to understand this in a broader perspective today, hopefully in the next 20, 25 minutes. Carl, as much as this third version of the travel ban has been passed by the Supreme Court to be constitutionally sane and acceptable within the authorities of the executive branch of the government, I want us to tie these two incidents and these two horrific things that are happening in our country right now, which is separation of families from their children, children from parents, parents from children, keeping in mind that they are not American, they are not bounded by the Constitution, they have entered the country illegally, and thus they have to face the law of the land. I want to make this sentence very clear, and if anyone has any objection, rewind after this podcast is done, listen to what I just said again. And then we have on the opposite side another executive branch, another branch of our government, which is...
Hold on. I'm going to jump in there and interrupt you just for 1 second. Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Because I always like when I learn new things, because, you know, I'm old and I like learning new things. But I learned today, and I read this, it was a court case, and I think it was from the 1800s, mm-hmm. in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And the way the court case actually read, people that are not citizens that are here illegally, as it were, their residence is not legal, they're actually given due process. There's actually a court case where a decision was handed out that they're supposed to have due process. They're supposed to be taken into the American legal system to have it sorted out. So that was, I just wanted to share that because I learned that today and it was very cool.
I don't know if you're referring to Dred Scott versus Sanford or Korematsu versus United States, but whatever it is, yes, everyone has the right to due process, and no one could be exempted from that, because if someone's exempted from that, that means everyone's exempted from that. There's no exceptions in that. So due process is necessary. But what we have here in both these cases, fellow listeners, is that we have our executive branch, legislative branch, and our judicial branch that have come to a consensus to some way or shape or form. Keeping in mind, this is the president and those that advise him, that's executive. Then you have legislative, which is both Republican and Democrats. And then you have the judicial, the 9 Supreme Court judges. That it seems that the founding fathers had split the power up between these three only to ensure that there wouldn't be a hijacking of the system. I think that's the best way to say it, where no one authority or power, may be legislative or judicial or even executive, can hijack the country with his or her or their ideology or way of thought. But we're seeing here, and we have to accept this right now, across the board and across the aisle, as they say politically, there is a level of acceptance towards what's happening, because the voices that are calling it out are minimal in comparison to those that either remain silent or saying it's justified. Now, Carl, we could go on and say, well, this was President Trump's idea, and this is what President Trump is doing out of his spite and hatred. Or we could say that this is something that President Obama started, and there's pictures that surfaced from 2014 that children were being put into cages, as Obama is known as deporter in chief, because according to the numbers that I last read, close to 1.8 million people were sent out of this country. They were deported under the Obama administration. But again, our country right now, as we're talking the society, putting aside the three branches of power, society at whole is colorblind. They could either see red, blue, or green. There's nothing else, basically. You're going to see as an independent, you'll see as a Republican or a Democrat. And for some reason, we all feel that our loyalty means this is the biggest problem, and this problem has to stop, because in Islam, we were taught not to allow this problem to fester. You cannot express your loyalty to someone by agreeing with everything that they do. That's not loyalty. That is insanity, and that is not friendship. That is the biggest disservice you could do to a friend. If you're loyal to a friend and you care about the friend, you should be able to point out something that's wrong. You should be able to constructively criticize something that you object to and don't agree with. Something that's not happening right now. If you're Republican, hands down, everything is right. Democratic, hands down, everything is right. So children are being separated from their parents at the border. Their children are being sent to Florida, to New York, New Jersey, and God knows where else. And our three branches of government have not taken up to contest this in the way that they should have. Then you have on the other side, as you said, that the Supreme Court today passed a travel ban that legitimizes and legalizes Trump's Muslim travel ban, which bans people from 7 Muslim majority countries from being a part of from coming into this country. Perfectly fine. This is happening. And again, our three branches of government have, to some extent, failed us. My question today is simple. I'm not going to go into Trump bashing. I'm not going to go into Democratic bashing, because I am open to constructive criticism. But I want to ask two simple questions. And we want our listeners, and Carl, I really need you to be a part of this. Is this a result of white supremacy?
So I will say that I spent a lot of time on Twitter today looking at this and observing the conversation and trying to see what was going on. And the more I read and the more I watched and the more I saw, you know, I really was just kind of left with, you know, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. Mm-hmm. And when the ruling from the Supreme Court came out today, that was pretty close to what I said too. Duck. Anyway, sorry.
No.
But they, I don't think it's a specific relation to white supremacy. I actually, what I think is that we have a growing, there seems to be a growing tide that is pulling us backwards to the 1940s and the 1950s, to the Jim Crow, to those days. And I think that this is part of that. This is part of that growing, I don't know what to call it. Cause to me, it's so weird. We spent so many years fighting it and so many years saying, this isn't right. You guys can't do this. And I mean, there was the whole 60s, you know, watch the CNN 60s Lost Decade series, see what happened. John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, all this stuff happened. And it's just like, meh, maybe it didn't, but so what if it did? And I feel like we're just going backwards, but I don't know if that's specifically white supremacy or just history repeating itself because we've gotten lazy and we've forgot.
Well, you know how I see it? I'm going to actually try and address the white supremacy with something else, but before I do that, on a side note, the way I see it, and I was thinking about this today, Carl, it seems that every people or every generation will see the following four: stability, the ups, the downs, and the recovery. Every person in the world will see, again, sense of stability, ups, downs, and a sense of recovery. From the people from the 1900s, World War I, 20 years later, World War II, then the Korean War, Vietnam, then you're talking about the Cold War, you're talking about the Russian War, you're talking about Afghanistan, you're talking about Iraq, 1 and 2. You're talking about natural disasters, you're talking about segregation, separation, racism, prejudice, phobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, homophobia. I think what's happening is, if I'm right or wrong, if we used to sit down and talk to our parents, which we seldomly do nowadays, but if we were to even sit and talk with our grandparents, which I wish we did, if they're alive, their stories will reflect hope, courage, hard and difficult times, and how they emerge from them. And so I think this is this generation right now, regardless if you're in the millennials or you're the, what you call it, post-millennials, because now they're seeing generations change every 15 years.
Gen Z.
Right? 10 Z. To 15 years.
No, it's Gen Z, like zebra.
Gen Z, yeah, Gen Z, if you're from Gen Z. So what's going to happen is that we are all going to face something very catastrophic right now. And I try to wrap my head around this to understand why. Because when they said history repeats itself, and I was always an open critic to that. And I would say that history doesn't repeat itself. If we accept to move forward, then history will be written. But if we accept to go backwards, then history will be repeated. It's up to us. But I don't think it's about going forward or back. It's like a kettle. You fill up with cold water, you put it on the stove. It takes a little time for it to start making a bit of noise, and then you start seeing some smoke and steam, and then you see the thing making a lot of noise and whistling, and then after you turn it off, it cools down, then you go through the same process. This is humanity as a whole. It's like a kettle. Every time you fill it up with water and put it on the stove, it's a matter of time. It's going to reach a boiling point, and then the boiling point is going to start spilling over until you turn it off, and then you finish it off, and then you wash it down, and you start the process again. So as much as we read in history books what happened in the past, we are actually participants in its active revival in our world today. It's a coffee pot, it's the pot being warmed up again. So I agree with you to some extent. It's not the duck, it's not white supremacy, but I look back at Hitler and I look back at all these other things. I try to understand what was it? And you know what it is? It's religious fanaticism. It's religious extremism. Because I see even people from the Black community, the Brown community, the Latino community, the Asian community singing the same song as some consider to be the white supremacist song. And what I find in common between all of them isn't that their color is the same, their colors are different, their backgrounds are different, but it is a misconstrued, bastardized version of Christianity that's being used to back this type of ideology. They're quoting the Bible, Carl. They're quoting the Bible. They're trying to say that Jesus allowed this. Quran talks about how Pharaoh separated families. He killed the children. He left the women alive. Did the Quran tell us that so we go and do it? The Quran told us that so we don't do it. It told us, don't go down this path because that guy was destroyed. You don't want to go down that way. The point is that even people, and now I understand why there's so many people out there that don't ascribe to religion, because religion is so twisted today. It's not even religion. It's not what religion used to be. It's a whole different version using the cloak of religion just so that they could make 2 cents and they could make some business and pull some people. So even people who have no religion are saying, what's wrong with you guys? Like, even they have a moral compass where religion came to you as Christians, to us as Muslims, to you as Jews, and everyone else. Religion came to you, if you accept your religion and you ascribe to religion, it came to you so that you create and uphold a moral compass, and there is no moral compass. This is the ISIS ideology of the West. ISIS is holding the Quran saying, go kill them where you find them. They're taking words of the Quran out of context. What does the rest of the verse say? Go kill them wherever you find them and take them out from where they took you out, i.e. retaliate now. It's not going to happen. This is in context to when the Muslims went to Medina and they're situated in Medina and they're still being pestered. They're still being threatened. Now they're coming to you. You're not going to Mecca. They're coming to you. Go kill them. There's no choice. But when we take religion and scripture out of context, then you'll find people of different colors, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, all singing the same song. So I believe it's not white supremacy. It's a bastardized version of Christianity that's pushing an agenda using this country that our founding fathers based on In God We Trust, to say it's not Jesus, it's not Allah, it's not Jehovah, it's not Buddha, it's none, it's just God, however you take it, meaning you follow your way. But this isn't what religion was meant to be. And history will write, history will record what we as people of religion did when we saw our religion being taken out of context. Before I give back to Carlos, I want to say one more thing. When ISIS started using the Quran, and Osama bin Laden started using the Quran, and Taliban started using the Quran, and Zawahiri and Baghdadi, when they started preaching the Quran, Muslim clerics around the world raised their voice and said, that is manipulation of the text, that's taking it out of context, that's not true. I want to hear Christians who say that they follow Christianity. I'm making this challenge to post, to articulate, to write, that those verses that were quoted by Jeff Sessions and Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not what the Bible's about. If not, then there's a problem. And that problem is religion is being used as a tool for personal agenda.
So I will say that, and I don't know, just because I'm a news junkie, that your challenge has been answered, because I think it was Sunday CNN put out an article on CNN.com, and I can go find it for you, where they actually said that a lot of these quotes and a lot of these things that people are citing, they're not real, and they're being misconstrued, and they're being misused, and they're being misquoted. So honestly, you know, when I saw that, I mean, I knew that because, I mean, that was the whole justification of slavery, was the Cain and Abel, and, you know, they slayed his brother and they marked him so they could see him from a long distance off and know he was of that. And that's how they justified slavery, because I can tell you're different from a long way off. But so CNN put out that article, and honestly, my first reaction when I saw that was, great, congratulations, awesome, I'm glad you guys are doing that. Now, where's the Quran version of that article? where's the version of that article where they say these Muslims that are quoting the Quran are taking it out of context? Let's do that article too. And that, I mean, that was my reaction when I saw it.
Mm-hmm. And again, you see, articles will be written, but what is the purpose of our churches and our mosques and our synagogues and our religious centers? Is to get up and preach to the congregation, let them know what's right and wrong. We don't want to hear about Jonah and the fish anymore. We don't want to hear about Moses and the magic. We want to hear about how those ancient stories can be put in perspective for real day problems so that you can give us solutions so we could go out and pursue those solutions. Because nowadays, Carl, the solution has become one, only one thing. And guess who's profiting out of all this? The media, right? The travel ban has been passed. The show stops. ABC, NBC, CNN, whatever else. They come up with breaking news. This is what's happened. There's a travel ban. And then Muslims have to talk, right? Because we have to then respond. And basically, we take the bait all the time. Something is being pushed. An envelope is being pushed. We cry foul. There's protests going on in every city in America right now because of this. I want to ask you all, in addition to protests, because if I say don't do protests, people say I'm messing up. So fine. In addition to protest, what are we doing? In addition to objecting, what are we doing? In addition to signs, what are we doing? This isn't working. Why don't we wake up and smell the coffee? So much has happened in the 16, 18 months of the presidency alone, in the policy changes and the tariffs and everything else. Signs are not making a difference. I could tell you a problem. People are still not going to register to vote. I can tell you another problem. People are not going to go and vote. I can tell you a third problem. There's going to be town halls where people running for election, maybe a congressional seat for the House, the Senate, state or national in Washington, maybe a city council, maybe mayor. There's people going to be running for elections this year. And there's going to be town halls and open forums. And guess what? We're not going to go and participate in those. And guess what? Even if someone goes and participates, they're not going to even ask a question. It's time to hold those who are elected their feet to the fire, because they're out to serve the nation. They're out to serve the people. Food stamps are being canceled. SNAP is being canceled. Where's the outcry for that? Healthcare is being canceled. Where's the cry for that? This is not only a moral disaster, but it is death to all religions, because religion upheld the rights for people's basic needs. When you say feed the poor, or make sure your neighbor doesn't go hungry, or love thy neighbor, what does that mean? What does it mean? I could take that, rip that page out from whichever scripture is, put it underwater, and the ink is going to wash out. What does it mean? It's about time we take scripture that's written and bring it into our lives. It's time in election year where we know the problem is coming from above, from our executive, legislative, and judicial branches. We're not going to fight anyone. It's not permissible by law. We're not going to threaten anyone. It's not permissible by law, morality, and religion. We're not going to harm anyone because it's not permissible by law, religion, or morality. What we're going to do is we're going to vote. What are we going to do? We're going to create a strategy. What are we going to do? We're going to unite our communities. What are we going to do? We're going to hold our elected officials accountable. What are we going to do? We're going to start being a solution to an ever so swiftly growing problem in our nation, that even the United Nations investigated America, and poverty is on a swift rise here. It's alarming. But yet we don't realize the person next to us in the grocery line doesn't have enough money to buy milk for their children.
So I will say that, you know, that concept of what you just shared of, you know, taking stories from the Bible and saying how they're relevant to current day situations, that would make a great podcast concept, you know, and especially if it were about Islam, that would be even better. And then they could call it Raw Islam, and they could host it with an amazing imam, and that would just be at least an award nominated show. Ha! You see what I did there?
Carl, when I get upset and mad, you know how to cool me down and, you know, change the subject on that. But Carl, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. You know, we have destroyed our country. We all have. And for the Muslims out there tonight, let me say something. The day we fulfill our personal duty to Allah, ourselves, and our community, knowing that our time on this world is temporary and that the ultimate abode, which is the afterlife, comes at a cost of ensuring that you uphold goodness both in your life and in your society, as God is the center point of it all, then we can start solving problems. Because Allah has told us in the Quran, and all the stories that are written in the Seerah teach us, that even the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that whatever was accomplished, nothing of it came from him. It all came from Allah. The day we feel, as Muslims, I'm talking to the Muslims here tonight, that you can go out there and make change, you failed yourself, you failed your religion, you failed your society. The day we could go out and do things and miss our prayer and lie or backbite or put someone down or hurt someone's feeling, we've lost ourselves, we lost our Allah, and we lost our society. Our duty to society is a pinnacle part of our faith, and is only beneficial and useful and effective when Allah is the backbone for it. Allah has been taken out of the equation. Bring Allah back into our lives. And I'm not saying that we're not Muslims anymore. I'm saying we have to understand to do it in the way the Prophet did it. We are now at ground zero. And when I say ground zero of Islam's history. We are at the initiating point. We're between the time that Abraha and the army of elephants came from Yemen to destroy Mecca, 5 years before the birth of the Prophet. This is where we are right now. We're kind of between there and after his birth. There is a lot that needs to be done. We need to identify and recognize the problems. For those Muslims out there that feel sitting in the masjid alone and worshiping Allah and reading their Quran is going to be enough, they have misrepresented Islam and they have done a great disservice to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And likewise, those who feel that they don't have to come in the mosque and they could do everything outside and they could compromise their faith and be whoever they want to be, and think that in the name of Islam, things are going to be accomplished, they too have done the same. So the months of Hajj are around us. These are sacred times. Month of Ramadan just ended. Goes to show how much energy we gain from that charge. Turn to Allah tonight and ask Him to open our hearts. Ask Him to open the hearts of our society. Ask Him to open the hearts of our government and those who are serving us, to treat people in a humane fashion. One thing came about, Carl, was a mosque here in Tampa. They had a press conference, I think it was on a Friday, and they said that we will pay for all the children that have been separated from their parents to come to Tampa. We will house them, we will shelter them, we will take care of them at our own cost. Sounds like something nice, right, Carl? What's your thoughts?
Oh, that sounds very nice. It sounds very Christianly, taking care of our neighbors, right? And those in need.
I'm in England. I'm studying. I get 2 months off. And instead of coming home, I'm told I'm going to go to my uncle's house in Birmingham, and he's going to feed me, clothe me, and take care of me for 2 months. Do you think I'm going to be happy when I want to go home?
No, you're not going to be happy because you'd rather be home.
Exactly. You answered it. We need to get these families reunited and back home. We need to enforce the law so that people know that they can't cross the border. And I think that message has been made very clear. There is a process. But separating families, sending children around the country without a single clue of how to reunite them, not even knowing what their mother and father's name is and where they are, isn't solving the problem. And for those out there from the community that feel that we are doing something right because we are going to stop this problem and save America tax money, let me tell you two things. Number one, housing these children, transporting these children is a cost from our tax dollars. Sending them back is a one-time cost. Keeping them every day is a continuous cost. Number two, for those who believe that America is only supposed to be white or Christian, or it's supposed to be for those who they define themselves as American and others accept it too. Our farms are rotting right now because there's no one to pick the fruits. I'm not saying illegal immigration or illegal immigrants are the solution. If you want your country, pick up your sleeves, put on your boots, and go start working. because the streets don't clean themselves and the grass doesn't get cut itself and the grocery stores don't get piled up and stockpiled by themselves and the farms are not, taken care of and the earth isn't tilled and the fruits aren't harvested by themselves. So if we want the country, as some people say, it's our country, then show it it's our country, because no country, no nation has ever succeeded in the way America has. And America has succeeded only because we gave everyone an opportunity and they paid back in dividends. Carl, I know we've gone over, but I want to say one more thing. When the second Trump travel ban was being instated, Trump actually set up a committee to find out how much these illegal immigrants or immigrants are costing, not even illegal, how much immigrants are costing the American economy. And do you know what the answer was when they did the investigation, Carl?
They put in, was it 6 million?
$63 billion.
$63 billion they put into the economy.
Netted $63 billion to the American economy. So they're not coming here just for food stamps. They're not coming here for healthcare. They're not coming here for free schools. They're giving back and they're giving back more. Everyone needs to give back. Everyone needs to give back together. Everyone needs to give back collectively. Everyone needs to mature up. Everyone needs to reestablish a moral compass. And we need to get our act together. If not, as I said at the time of the election, there's one thread on the American flag that went loose and it was yanked. And that is our togetherness and our unity. If that is yanked long enough, there will be no flag. The flag will be only a string. So if we want America to continue, forget for our children or our grandchildren, for ourselves, we need to find solutions. Number two, we need to stop using religion as a tool for our personal gain. Number three, there is no superior race. Even Jesus didn't define himself as white. He is from Bethlehem. He is Arab. He is Jewish, whatever you want to call him. He is not white, nor did any of our prophets in our biblical Holy Scriptures ever talk about the color of the skin, because that's irrelevant. It's what you bring to the table and how you help humanity that makes you important.
So I have a couple of things before I wrap up tonight. The first thing is, and this is something that I learned in high school that I thought was super cool. And but in the Bible, if you, and I forget where it is, I'd have to look it up again, but they actually talk about Isa, Jesus, being born, and they say that his skin was the color of burnt brass, and his hair was the texture of wool. So it was, you know, I mean, he was not white. It was right there. It was recorded. So there was that. The other thing that I want, the way I have to share, is Sister Rodriguez left a comment for us on our Facebook here. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Rodriguez. And just for the record, we have settled our Twitter feud between Revert and Convert, and everything's good. We're on the same page with that one. But she says that you, not me, have a very valid point. We have lost sight of what is important as one ummah, not only as one ummah, but for the whole of humanity. And she is absolutely right on that. And that is why we are here, and that is why we do this every week on Tuesday evenings at right about 8 o'clock here on Facebook, on the Venn Network page. Subscribe, like, share. That's how we get more viewers. That's how we get the word out there. And as I get ready to wrap that, you like that? That was like the pitch to wind up. And for more information on the Venn Network, head over to vennetwork.org, where you can see about, you can see all of our shows. You can download past episodes. You can see videos that we have for YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and share on YouTube as well. Not only that, but you can also follow us on Twitter, which can be found at vennetwork.org. And you can also get yourself, which I am not wearing tonight, a very snazzy Venn Network t-shirt, which helps support the network, support the hosts, support the shows. And we've actually upgraded our Patreon donations. If you, I forget what level it is right now, but if you go over and subscribe on Patreon to support the show, we'll actually give you one of those Venn Network t-shirts. So we're trying to up the ante here, trying to get our followers. This is our PBS moment here. And if you'd call now, we'll give you this amazing tote bag. So... So that was my tote bag moment. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, from all of us here at Raw Islam with Imam Azhar, until next week, we will say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your comments. And I got one more. Hold on. It's not showing up on my screen here, but Sister Rodriguez said that Twitter war was an epic fail, but we have agreed to disagree. Alhamdulillah. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say Assalamu
alaikum.
Of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.